Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 84. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
And on this week's episode, civil discourse. Where has it gone?
All right, guys, welcome back to the You Can Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well. You know what? If one man can have some civil discourse without getting crazy on his friends, on his neighbors, then we think you guys could too. And we hope to offer you guys some proper know-how on civil discourse. Josh is going to be steering the ship for us on the podcast because he used to just like be really horrible.
I was going to say discourse. He's like one of the most dogmatic people that I know. So
no,
it's thanks, good that guys. He's going to steer the ship.
Thanks.
But I will say that Josh does actually a really good job at that. And so listen, with everything going on, and gosh, when this podcast drops, look, we're coming up like right on the election.
Goodness.
My favorite time of the year.
Oh,
obviously.
Gosh. So ready to stop seeing those ads. You know, I don't really watch a whole lot of TV. Like
it's
actual
Facebook, isn't it?
TV.
It's
no,
Facebook.
It's YouTube.
Yeah, that's what I meant. YouTube. It's YouTube. YouTube. It's every YouTube ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen a non-political.
Do they want
ad.
Us to like to not vote for you? Because that's what it feels like.
They want
like.
Me to throw my computer.
Yeah.
That much.
It is. It's a little much.
Yeah. All right, guys. What's been going on this week?
Do you guys know where I'm supposed to be right now? Instead of here in You Can Man headquarters?
At home?
I should be at Game 5 of the World Series in Arlington, Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't remember if I talked about it on the last, I don't know if I'd bought them when we recorded last. I don't know if I mentioned it. But after like Game 2 of the Braves National League Championship Series, I was like, there's a good chance they're going to the World Series. So I bought a plane ticket.
Oh, really?
And a ticket to the World Series. Actually, I was in on a group with one of our UK Man listeners. I was in on a group. We bought 8 tickets. And yeah, we're going to Game 5, which is tonight, Sunday, October, whatever
that's
it is.
Right.
What do those cost?
I honestly don't remember.
They were around like $400.
That was the get in price. So we had pretty much the nosebleediest of the nosebleed.
And obviously they can't have a packed house.
They can't. It was, yeah, they were spacing it out. It was the everybody's favorite.
But having an Atlanta team in Texas. The availability of tickets wasn't too bad.
It wasn't
that
too
early on.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad that early on. I mean, I didn't do the shopping or the buying. You know, I just paid for it with somebody else bought it. Anyway, yeah, I had to sell them. And right now, I would have been watching the Braves beat up the Dodgers. And so at that time, I think I can't remember when we bought them, but it was something.
The Braves would be playing the American League team.
Yeah. So. Anyway. Oh yeah. Sorry, I'm an idiot. I'm super stupid. We'd be watching them beat up on the Rays.
Yeah.
Man, I guess I don't deserve to go.
Wasn't
to the World
that
Series?
Like one of your questions to me about what league the Braves were on?
It was
on your bonus.
It was a faux pas. Listen, when you get it, people don't understand this. You guys get it. When you get in front of a microphone, your brain stops working on
this
some sort
true.
Of level. Like it just doesn't work right.
This is true.
It's okay. I was nitpicking.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm pretty bummed about that. But hey, I'm happy to be here with you guys.
That is a bummer, and I'm secretly glad because I was invited in on the same trip, but I had a prior engagement today, which was an air show. With my dad and my family.
And you declined. You said,
I said, listen,
choose
Dad, you
family.
Understand.
Yeah, I choose family over.
I declined the World Series to go to the air show.
Gotcha.
It was everything was up in the air because maybe the Braves would go. Maybe the air show would get rained out. And then I was, bummed either way.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, not much been going on with me, but I have been shooting more. As our listeners may know, I'm a photographer. So fall time, people like to get the portraits done. So I actually did a portrait shoot with Dave's family the other day.
Yesterday. It was
yesterday morning.
It was just picturesque. It was gorgeous.
It was.
Fantastic photos.
Tim did a little neighborly shoot of my one-year-old's birthday party yesterday as well.
Speaking of,
I
need to pay you, and I've decided that I'm going to dole out payments, daily payments, over the next year. So 365 payments, okay? So
okay,
that's how
fine.
We're going to do it. And,
we'll
just see how that works.
It'll make me feel like I made more.
I think so.
Just kind of.
That's almost like a subscription.
It is like a subscription.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, let's get into talking about civil discourse. So this was actually a topic brought up by one of our actually former guests on the show and Facebook group members. I will just say Josh.
Yep.
I don't know how he worded it exactly, but he was saying that he thought we might be able to do a good job of talking about this and how you can agree to disagree and how you can actually have civil discourse, especially, you know, going back and forth on social media and that sort of thing. So he thought we had kind of, I don't know, maybe more level heads with some other stuff that he feels like we've talked about before. So he thought we'd be a pretty good, do a pretty good job with this. So Josh.
Yeah, I'm going to kick us off. So this is super delicate for you guys listening. You probably know this, like we don't really talk politics on here. We've talked like personal belief stuff, but we just, you know, it's not our wheelhouse and it's not super productive.
And nobody wants to listen to that.
In this day and
age. I don't want to listen to that.
Not true. There are very popular political podcasts.
Yeah, but they don't. All right.
But anyway, for today's goal, this is literally just a kind of a stream of thought of, we're working off a list of notes that I've put together of things that I try to keep in mind if I do like venture into political discussions,
which is all the time,
mostly on Facebook, a lot of times in person. These are just things that I believe help progress in these discussions. So again, we're not going to be taking political stances here. We're not even going to be really getting into specific issues. These are like methods and techniques.
Yes, and I will say that. So Josh sent us some show notes, and Dave was reading over them, and Dave's like, "What is this? This is so really, totally obvious."
Well, I said, "Are we speaking to children tonight?" Because you know, you're looking at this, and it's all, I think, for rational people, it all makes sense, and it's all stuff that you should know to do. But I think we can all admit that right now, you know, it feels like there's a lack of civil discourse. There's a lot of vitriol out there, and particularly on social media. I love a radio show that I used to listen to. They called them the key bangers.
Yes.
Right. So people who are, you know, just get mad on their computer and are yelling at people. So there is a lot of that. So,
yeah. And, you know, your assertion about if you're a logical thinker, then of course you think. That's actually something that we have to guard against in our
yeah,
civil
Dave.
Discourse.
Come on.
Is making these generalizations that, you know, if you're that everybody should know this, that it's common knowledge.
Well, they should know it.
That's what you want to
together.
Think.
Get it together. It is. I have a high,
yes.
I have a high expectation of people. And I think highly of, you know, my community.
There you go. Okay. So here's where we go. Let's start at the top. What is our goal? So when we're.
To win, Josh, yes, to win.
When we're talking here. If you're going to venture in, and I'm using Facebook as kind of the main example because that's where a lot of people operate on their political discussions. Twitter is like totally such an incorrect medium to have a discussion that I can't even think about it. But what's our goal? So if your goal is to win, to crush your opponent, to make someone submit to your point of view, you can just turn off the podcast because that doesn't help anything. Like you're literally not going to make any progress because no one responds to that approach.
Josh, okay? Have you read some of my Facebook posts though? Yes. I mean, come on.
I know.
I'm winning people over. Okay.
Right. And this is, I'll touch on this later, but you know, my younger self, that is how I approach political discussion, is like, we're going to get some and we're going to crush people. So if your goal is that, it's not going to happen. My goal today as a 39-year-old adult man, I am trying to, if I'm going to venture in, you know, into the mix, my goal is to at least get you to respect me and my point of view a little bit more, like on a personal level. And secondarily, what I hope would happen would be that you'd have a better understanding of my position. And if I did it in a respectful way, you would actually have a little more respect for people who hold my same position. So I'm kind of a representative of, and I'm going to talk about these stupid teams that we have, but I'm a representative of people who have my same, you know, belief system. And if we can kind of do that on a macro level of people respecting individuals and therefore having a little more respect for the group, then I think we can make some real progress. So that's kind of where we start. Okay, so now we understand the bigger goal, the bigger picture, we're trying to kind of earn the other side's respect. And that may, I mean, if that twists your brain, then I say good, because that is how, that's the only way we're going to be making any progress here. And that requires a high level of humility. And one of my favorite, you know, kind of quotes around humility is actually a chapter out of one of Dr. Jordan Peterson's books is, assume the person you're speaking to might know something that you don't. And that to me is like a total you can man spirit thing. Like, approach a situation, you have some understanding of a problem, so you go to talk to somebody about it. If you go in assuming that they might know something that you don't, you're going to learn something. You're absolutely going to learn something. And that's how I wade into these political discussions is, I'm not going in ready to crush. I'm going in humble, and I'm saying they may say something at some point that I have to acknowledge may be correct.
I think that's right. That's a great point. My wife and I will get into this every so often, because we're, I would say, fairly aligned, you know, in our ideology and political beliefs, but we don't agree on everything. There's a fair amount that we don't agree on, and there have been several times. I don't think I'm very good at this, but there have been several times where we'll get into a discussion and I'll go into it thinking I completely disagree with this, but she's really good at kind of, I don't know, breaking things open. And there have been several times, I mean, numerous times that she's explained something and I'm like, wow, I've never thought about it that way. And it really kind of opens it. I mean, obviously other people have different perspectives on different situations than you do, and they just read things differently or see things differently. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me where I'm like, wow, that's a great point. I never thought about it that way. So, you know, that, you know, going in, that should be a goal, is to see things from a different perspective than you do, because I think that's valuable.
Yeah, I would say I have historically had a very bad issue with this, because I, as you guys know, I'm oftentimes very black and white.
What?
Yeah.
Tim's pretty rigid.
I am. And it's mostly on the things that I just really care about. So, but the older I get, especially with this political stuff, I just got to where I'm just not caring a whole lot about this, because I'm just so fed up with it. I have checked out in large part with a lot of this stuff. And I know that that's a problem too. And so I'm acknowledging that I should be more involved. You know, having Wes on our last show made me realize I need to be a lot more involved in local politics. And Josh, I know that you had that as part of your notes. But yeah, just concerning humility, I felt like I often had a pretty big issue with that. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of times people think that the way that they get the respect is to prove their point and to shout over people, that somehow that will grant them respect from everyone else. And that is totally not the case.
Well, when you're a 24-year-old guy, I mean, you know everything in the world. Like, you've got it all figured out, right? Yeah. And so you're going to let everybody know that.
Right, yeah. So the humility thing is big. And I mean, Tim, yeah, you say you've checked out to me. And yes, that's not overall good, I don't think. But that, I think that means a piece of you is like, look, everything that I think I hold true, like, may not, in fact, like, every little issue that I've, you know, had taken a position on in the past may not be the end all be all on everything. So, yeah, humility is super important. Again, this requires you to accept a little bit of chaos in your life, because in your mind, for most people, in your mind, you've got things ordered. You've got it structured. You've got it, you know, things are the way they are to you. By making yourself humble and by opening yourself up to the fact that someone that you disagree with may actually say something correct, you're opening yourself up to chaos, because that's painful to hear. And the older I get, the easier it is for me to hear things like that, that kind of disrupt the way I've thought for the past decade or two decades or whatever. So, you know, and going back, I mentioned my Facebook post, going back to early Facebook for me, which was about 12, 11 years ago, I read my post today and I just laugh because I was super involved. I'm using air quotes in politics. I would read them today. I read them today and I just laugh because I'm like, that is a fool speaking, because I was just spraying out whatever I'd heard, regurgitating stuff and just hammering stuff down people's throats.
Yeah. I was going to mention, too, that we should make a distinction that we are not saying a relativized truth, meaning there is actual real truth out there, sure, and you should stand for those things, and you should fight for justice, and you should call out things that are wrong when you see them. But we are talking about the ways in which you do that. So, you know, Josh had said something like, you may see something a certain way, and that's completely true, but there is an absolute truth to matters, and we strongly believe that. But I think that there is, you know, open-handed and closed-handed issues too, that we often make a, you know, mountain out of molehill kind of thing. And that's what we're really talking about. So we're not saying shy away or back off from a good fight.
Yep.
We're not saying that. We're saying how you go about making that fight and really making ground or making up ground in the quote unquote argument.
Yeah. So a couple other things, and you know, these again sound super simple, but you have to think about these when you are in, especially when a discussion gets a little more heated or a little more emotional. We try not to be emotional, but sometimes they get there. Don't be dismissive. That's an easy one to do, just to be like, well, you just don't get it, or you don't understand, or whatever. Or it's not a big deal. That's a big one. You know, we kind of have to acknowledge that if someone's this passionate about it, then maybe there's a good reason they are feeling the way they feel about it. Generally, be courteous. I mean, this is on both sides, even like friends that I have who hold very similar beliefs that I do, just the way they deliver a message. I'm like, that was totally unhelpful. Like the way you just came in, you know, if it's a threat I'm having and that someone comes in from left field and drops a big bomb right in the middle of the comment section, even though it's like on my side, I don't want it. Like I did not want that grenade to be thrown at that time.
Yeah, there's
and
a desire.
It was inappropriate.
I think from a lot of people, there's a desire to see that, because I'll see like news stories and it'll say something to the effect of like, watch so-and-so get owned by right. this side. And it's like, yeah. I mean, I don't want to watch that. Like, it's uncomfortable and it's just weird. Like, I don't understand the
something
need to,
good
like,
may have been said, but why
yeah,
do we
like,
need to
why do
deliver
we need to,
it in that
like
way?
Break everybody down and right. make people look stupid? That just
because there's a winner and a loser.
Yeah, yeah, I guess there is a desire to you know to see that. You know, some people want to see that, and I guess that's, you know, all well and good, but I think it flies in the face of what we're talking about here tonight. Yep.
Okay, so this next one gets to more of the root of our issue, I think, with our current two-party system is that we have these two teams and everybody on one team must think that everyone on the other team is evil and that they've never done anything good, vice versa. And then if your team has a prescribed list of stances on issues, you must subscribe to all of those stances. So my belief is, let's don't check that approved list before we deliver our opinion on a topic. Let's develop our very own opinion on the topic, even if and especially if it goes against the general party that you're associated with. That drives me crazy today, and I really try to pull out particular issues.
Is that it feels almost like an antiquated, I'm not going to say an antiquated system, but was that something that, like, back in the day people...
This is apparently a natural... In political philosophy, this is a natural progression of parties in general, is that people will end up dividing themselves this way. Now, there are other systems we could try to enact to get away from it. That's a different podcast.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I was going to say that my problem has been stacking up issues and saying that this issue trumps all the other ones in my mind, meaning I can't get past a lot of times the fact of like someone else that votes for the other party or thinks a different way and how they value one particular issue over the other when I hold a completely different, you know, it's like they'll say, well, all these issues in my mind stack up to kind of equal what you're saying is your one issue. So I have had a problem saying I am not willing to let any of these other issues stack up to, you know, my one issue or what have you, of how I think about that. So I'm trying to be better about that and really thinking through the perspective on all those other issues instead of just being so fixated on my one thing that I just can't let go of. Mm-hmm. And that's really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, because, yeah, there are particular issues a lot of people hold very dear to their hearts. And if a candidate specifically espouses something in opposition, even if they agree with you on everything else, that's going to be a tough sell. And that totally happens on both sides. So when we're talking about not adopting all of your parties, I'm again using quotes because I think we should, and I have another note here, eliminate that language as part of your debating. Like don't, when you're debating someone from the other side, don't say, oh, well, you know, well, all Republicans believe this,
right.
Or all the left believes this. And therefore, you know, it's just let's get that language out of it and talk to the person about the issue. Don't assume the person you're talking to subscribes to all of that party's beliefs in the same way that we just discussed on the other side. So one of my favorites here, the next bullet point is, and this is the one that turned me, I think, from super obnoxious to somewhat coherent. So when you do research on a particular issue, find articles and data that both support and refute the point that you're trying to argue. And this is kind of a debate, like if you were in debate team in high school, this is what they would tell you to do is try to think, you know, two or three steps ahead of where your opponent's going to go on an issue. But what that forces you to do, it's not to get one up on the opponent, in my opinion. This is actually, again, forcing you to learn why the other side thinks the way they think, because they're looking at the same data set, possibly, and pulling out a different outcome.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one sometimes, you know, I almost said even for me, like I'm better than everybody, but it is a tough one for me where
I'm an engineer.
I make a habit out of reading multiple articles from multiple news sources. If I'm reading one from a website or just an article that I don't, you know, in general agree with, I have a hard time not just being dismissive of it and or reading half of it or even a quarter of it and being like, well, this is, you know, way off.
Obviously, that's wrong.
Yeah, obviously, they are incorrect. And so I'll just close it. And so I have trouble with that. But it is important, particularly if you want to have a spirited debate with somebody or a productive debate with somebody, understanding the side, you know, that they're coming from or just, you know, the way that they see things, you know, reading those opinions and those articles can be helpful in that regard.
And it will help you get some of your anger out prior because you'll be reading this and just be, oh, idiots. Yeah. How can they think this way? And then once you've kind of worked through that and then you kind of understand it more objectively,
yeah,
then I think you'll come to the table more even keeled.
Yeah, that's a point that my wife actually wanted me to point out. She was kind of reading these notes and giving me some tips, but this one about, this happens a lot when I click on an article, even from like a source that I think, oh, well, this source, I trust this source. I love that. I trust this source over the other ones, but I'll be reading that source I trust, in quotes, and I start reading and I'm like, what? That's quite a leap for you guys to make. Even though it like generally agrees with my perspective, I'm like, come on, guys. Like, you're not doing a good job. You're not being a good journalist or whatever. And, you know, my wife was like, yeah, we need to be able to identify hypocrisy on both sides and call it out and admit to it and throw it out there for everyone to see. And I mean, that is just, that's hard for individuals to do themselves. But even when, you know, if it's the president or the speaker of the house or whoever it is that's on your team says something and you immediately just know, you're like, that was a disastrous comment.
Yeah.
Please don't ever say that again. But for you to actually come out and say that in public would just be, oh, it's a hard thing to do. And I don't struggle with that anymore.
Yeah. One thing random I was just thinking about is I'm always surprised there are these some issues And maybe we can get into this. I don't want to get into like issues and talking about where we stand, all this kind of stuff. But it's interesting to me, something like vaccines. OK, now we're not going to go into what we think about all this and everything. But it's interesting to me that there is people that hold the exact same belief on vaccines that are both from the very far right yes. and the very far left. And it's so interesting to me. And there's another issue that I was trying to think of. Maybe it was just the vaccines, but because I was having a conversation with my wife about that. And I was like, this is a wild card. This yeah, is a wild card.
It transcends, you know, the political norms. Party system.
Yeah, I just say that to point out that, you know, you can't always assume that somebody just falls right in line with the rest of that platform of that party. You know, you can't, because they maybe have a fringe belief on this thing that they share with the opposite party, which mm-hmm. is just crazy. And it makes my mind just, I don't know. I keep trying to make sense of it, yeah. you know, because that's what you try to do. You try to fit them into a team.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ooh, well, I guess they just don't.
I hunger for more of that. I want the person who pulls issues from all different sides and like creates their own party, right? And because they're thinking for themselves and they're not prescribing to one of Josh's teams,
right?
Right? And I don't know. It just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of that out there.
Yeah, that's where I'd like us to get to. I think is where we should get. And like the two party thing is holding us back.
Well, Josh, tell us more on how we can get there.
So, okay. So the next topic here is logical fallacies, understanding and avoiding them. If you don't know what those are, you can research them. I'm not going through all of them. There's like 15 or 20 or more, but they're basically, like the word says, logical fallacies. They're ways to say things that are not effective in debate. They kind of defeat their own purpose.
It's directly taking you off topic.
Yes. So and two of the most common ones, one's called the ad hominem attack. You've probably heard of that. And so that is, you know, someone says a belief, and instead of addressing that belief or issue, you say, you know, well, you cheated on your taxes, or you know, you wrote all these bogus checks, or you know what, you're going to their personal life, their personal.
You're attacking the person rather than the issue.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah. The next one, and so that's just one of them. The next one is a straw man, which is hugely common. It comes up in almost every Facebook debate. And I'm going to use two equal, I think, two equal straw
equal
man
and
arguments.
Opposite forces.
Yes. One is, you know, well, since Republicans don't even believe in science, of course you wouldn't think that. You know, that, right. that would be you're telling someone you're saying that a whole group prescribes to something that they don't really prescribe to, or that the person you're talking to subscribes to that belief. The other one would be, you know, well, all liberals just want to bankrupt the country.
Right.
And that is not a true statement. That is not what all liberals prescribe to. So ad hominem and straw man, those are just two. There's a bunch. Research them, because you'd be surprised. Once you start debating someone, you will be surprised at how often you slip into that, yeah. or someone from the other side is slipping
in. I was going to say, if you're honest with yourself and you read that list and you think that you have not used any of those.
Oh, it's super easy to do.
You're just yeah. lying to
another
yourself.
One is slippery slope. Like, that's another one that comes up a lot. So those are just, you know, general techniques. So we're going to start to wrap it up here. This is not exhaustive. This, again, was just me kind of, and I've had like some recent discussions. I've been staying out of politics a lot because it's just not good for me. But, you know, I try to be respectful, and the people that I actually engage with, I know are respectful too. And that's kind of a give and take. And that goes back to relationships, Dave. You were talking about having these discussions with your wife. It is much easier to have a respectful debate and to have your mind changed or adjusted slightly by someone that you respect and have a relationship with. And so that kind of goes back to my first point, is like, what's your goal here? Like, build the relationship. You're not going to change someone's mind just as a stranger off the street shouting something.
Right.
You're not going to change someone's mind. But if you build a relationship with that person, show them who you really are, build some trust, then maybe you can start changing some minds, or at least coming to a place where we can be like, you know what? You believe that, and that's cool, and we can still be friends.
Yeah.
And that is so weird today, because we're not supposed to. Like, Tim, you mentioned earlier, if someone said, you know, if you say something that you assume someone else prescribes to, like the vaccine thing. Either way, and you accidentally let it slip in conversation. Well, if you have a relationship with those people and they were slightly offended by what you said, they could either just speak up and say, hey, man, actually, I believe this, and then we all move on and it's fine. But in today's environment, political media, social media environment, we're told that we are literally supposed to hate that person. Like if you say one thing that, right. that disagrees with what I think, I should now hate you. And that is totally not what we need to be working towards.
You've got to find common ground.
Yes.
And if you don't find common ground with somebody, you're likely not going to be able to have really quality civil discourse.
Yeah, and finding common ground is easy. A couple of techniques that I do on that is saying, instead of, you know, you should look at this way, I start using like we and our language, like we can do better on this and we could move forward in this direction. And then I mentioned acknowledging hypocrisy before. We also have to acknowledge when somebody from the other side says something that's good, like that's a good point. Tell them.
Yeah.
That builds a bridge. Like that builds trust. That shows them that you're listening and that you care. If they say something that is a good point, you should say, hey, man, that's a good point. I've never thought about
that. Yeah, and you're not putting your stamp of approval on everything that they think just because you said that they had a good point on such and such issue.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of times we shy away from giving high fives to the other team, if you will, because we think by doing so, we will be...
They're transferring all of their beliefs through your hands.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, well, yeah. Like somehow if I say this, then people are going to think that I subscribe to everything that they think. And that's just, that should not be the case. Yeah. But that's how things are right now.
Yeah, it's very sad and scary to me. You know, I know a lot, we're coming up on Thanksgiving too. I love how they put election season right before Thanksgiving. It's so beautiful so that you get to be awkward with your family who may disagree with you. That again is like, yeah, we're going to have disagreements and it's okay. And like, we can still move forward. We can still have relationships. We don't have to tear down the other side on every little thing. Okay. Lastly, social media, just understand that.
That's the worst thing on the face of the
yes.
earth.
The way it's designed is for people to be disagreeable. All of these things we just talked about from the top of the show till now take effort and time to do well. So if you are trying to spout off a response in 30 seconds, like as soon as someone has replied to a comment, you're probably not delivering a great message. Social media is a natural enemy of this because of the time factor. Twitter's like in another planet on that, but just Facebook in general or Instagram, Messenger, whatever platform you're using. If speed is of the essence, you're making mistakes. Mistakes are being made. So just keep that in mind.
I said social media is the worst thing on the planet. I don't really think that. It can be.
It's mostly the worst.
Yeah, it's mostly the worst. It can be a super valuable thing. There are a lot of beautiful things about it, but it is easy to fall into these or to have these pitfalls on these platforms because, I don't know, I kind of just think the main reason is you can't get beat up physically on social media, right? So generally when people are, you know, face-to-face, they tend to be a little bit nicer, right? But when you're on social media, you're not face-to-face with that person. Like you're not, you're, you know, it's just not a natural interaction. So just be nice on social media.
Be nice.
Yeah. So just to wrap things up, we got some other stuff here that, you know, you got to keep in mind how the media works, right? Josh has in our notes, if it bleeds, it leads. And that's totally right. Because the news stories that you're seeing, they want to see a fight. And
they just want to get eyes on it, right? Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody. Surely everybody knows this, right?
Yeah, but it's so tough because so many people watch the major networks. And I don't have to call them out. I mean, I can call, you know, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, like whatever you're watching. Keep in mind that while you may think these anchors and journalists or whatever they want to call themselves want to fix problems, they are making millions of dollars in many cases to have great, if they have great ratings. And they know that the divisiveness brings in the great ratings. Like the worse the worse the other side is, the better their ratings are. And that's how they're doing things. So just if that's where your time is being spent, if that's what's getting absorbed into your brain, just understand that's what's going on. They are facilitating the division. Having Wes here, Tim mentioned having Wes Cantrell here last week, our state representative. In my opinion, this might be an opinion thing, because I know there are people that don't necessarily believe this, but I think it's one of the few things that are going to kind of hold things together is the focus on local politics. That Dave mentioned, you know, the least important election. Was that you, Dave?
No.
Can't remember. Anyway, maybe it was someone I was chatting with outside of the podcast, but basically, the least important election is the president. Like, as far as
Wes,
your,
I think Wes mentioned that, and you don't think about that, right?
Yeah, your daily life, like the things that you're touching and interacting with on a daily basis, the president of the United States is not directly affecting that. Yeah. Now, there are things the president can do that are going to have downstream impacts. I understand that, but on your day to day, it's the president's not the one changing your life. Local politics plays a much bigger factor in that. And I was kind of ashamed having Wes here because I don't vote in every local election. And now I'm like, I absolutely have to. Like, I'm going to espouse these things and like want things to change in one way or the other. I'm going to have to start participating a little more or getting involved a little more on some level.
Local politics, get involved.
Yes, that's a good place to stop. You know, there's a lot more on this. If there are things that we missed, let us know in the Facebook group. This, again, wasn't exhaustive, but these are mostly my personal, you know, points that I try to think through if I'm going to get into a political discussion with somebody. And again, the ultimate goal for us, if we're going to have a discussion or a debate, is to find that common ground and to, you know, acknowledge the other side might be right, so that we can at least exist together without, you know, constantly tearing each other down. And again, if your way is, you know, if your thought process is that the way you think and the way you process information should be the way that everyone else does it, and that the things you believe should be everything that everyone else believes, and you would like that forced on other people, this discussion is not going to do you very much good.
Well, maybe it will. Right? Maybe it will do them some good. Right. Well,
but at the same time, fight the good fight. Like we're still saying, like, stand up for what you believe in.
Absolutely. Do it in a way where you can coexist with people that, you know, aren't.
Just be civil. Be nice.
Yes.
And love your fellow man.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And I've got the bonus segment this week, guys. It's going to be a little shorter one, but it's going to be good. Stick around. Community, craftsmanship, and adventure. Those three words can sum up one of our new show sponsors, Alpine Leather Co. They make handcrafted leather goods right here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. Now, you guys who are longtime listeners may have heard us talk about the term handcrafted and how it's just kind of tossed around by a lot of companies and doesn't really mean a whole lot. Not so with Alpine Leather Co. In fact, I've been to their shop and watched Nate, one of the owners, make something right in front of my eyes, handcrafted for sure. So if you like high quality, built to last leather goods, then go to their website and check out the amazing products that they're creating at alpineleather.co. And for being a You Can Man listener, we've even got a special promo code for you guys, which will give you 10% off at checkout. Just use the code, no spaces, You Can Man at checkout. And while you're at it, check out their Instagram at Alpine Leather Co. All right, guys, welcome back. I've got the bonus segment coming back at you. Okay, guys, I have just recently, if you follow our Instagram, you would have seen this, but I just harvested some black walnuts from my backyard.
I did not know what was going on, so I watched the story. And
yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that was the process.
You watched Tim harvest his nuts.
So I've got a black walnut tree that I didn't even know was there because there's all this other stuff growing up around it. It's a young black walnut tree, okay, which is why I didn't, you know, we think of black walnuts as these like massive trees, which a lot of times,
they drop grenades.
They are. Yeah. And I just didn't even know. And I remember seeing the tree for the first time. I was like, what is that? And then I started seeing the walnuts on it. And I looked at it. I was like, dang, we got a black walnut
tree. Hang on. I'm confused. This is like a new tree that has sprouted.
It's a new tree. I don't know how. I don't know.
How tall is it today?
Right? I don't know any other black walnuts like right around here. I haven't seen them in our, you know. Because we got woods right down here.
Is that thing? There was something like, I don't know, a couple months ago where I can't even remember where I read it. I guess it was a news story. They were like, hey, watch out for these seeds that China like randomly shipped in.
No.
Is that what that is?
No.
I would be suspicious.
No, black walnuts are native here. Now, when you buy walnuts at the store, they're generally going to be European walnuts. But you want the good stuff, right? You want
the homegrown
black walnuts. And so I've got one in my yard and it's, I don't know how old the tree is. It can't be, I mean, it's probably, you asked how tall it was. Sorry. It's probably only 15 feet, right. 15, maybe 20, 20. I'm going to say 20.
It's not a sapling.
No, I mean, obviously it's mature enough to be producing fruit, right? Nice, okay. So there you have it. So I had told myself, all right, I'm gonna harvest these black walnuts and I got to figure out how in the world to do it because I have no idea.
Sledgehammer. Right?
So what did I do? Like a good you can man, I did some research.
You called it your yard walnut tree and you don't eat off of it.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I don't know. They may be horrible. I haven't had them yet. So maybe I will say that it's not good, but... So I actually picked these off of the tree. Now, most of the time you're going to see them after they've already fallen. And a lot of times I think when we see these things, they're already kind of rotten.
They're like half broken open.
Now, these, they have a large husk or hull, you might hear it referred to as, and it's large. I mean, these things are like,
they're almost like pool cue balls.
I would
like
say almost tennis ball size. Okay. Yeah, actually. And that is the actual fruit or the husk or the hull that you're seeing. And then the nut is actually it's inside a shell, right? Okay. The nut is actually the fruit. Mm-hmm. So the nut would actually be the hard shell. And then what you actually eat is the actual meat. Sorry, did I say
the
fruit?
Meat of the
Sorry,
nut.
The meat of the, okay. I know it sounds weird, but that's what it is. It's
so
the
big
it's actual
thing
fruit.
Is the husk. And then you get down in there and that's
meat,
the nut.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So you have to de-husk the thing. Now, there's lots of methods to this. So a lot of people will say, like, put them all out on your driveway and literally run them over with your car.
Wow.
You can drill a hole, properly sized hole in a piece of plywood and then use a hammer to hit it. And then the nut would come out and leaving the husk or the hole. Mm-hmm. I actually took a knife and just cut around it like you would –
like an avocado.
Yeah, exactly. Mm, something safe. Like that and kind of halved it and then just picked out the nut from there. But it still had a lot of the fruit husk stuff on it.
How dense is that husk? Is it pliable?
Like, yeah, it is. Now, that's another thing too. So I actually picked mine off the tree. If you find them on the ground, they're more than ready to be picked up, right? But mine I had to double check just to make sure. But if you can press on the hull, which is like the fruit, and it depresses, then you're good.
They're ready to be denutted.
Right. And so when you take that nut out, there's still going to be some of that fruit, that husk is still on it. So you got to get that off. So I took the nut and nuts, and then I put them in water in a bucket. And then I took my cordless drill, and then I had a paint mixer, one of these long, like 2 feet long. Have you
paint
guys seen these?
Wand, yeah.
Yeah, for like a 5 gallon bucket of paint, mm-hmm. right? And then put that joker down in there, and then it agitated everything like a ton and got all, and I did like several batches of this, right?
Nice.
Okay, a couple of things that I should mention. Wear gloves when you're doing this because I guess it's the tannins in the fruit will stain everything, right? Now, and if it's started to decompose, it will start to turn black and it'll be like this tar-like kind of substance. So you want to wear gloves when you're doing this. And
like latex gloves.
Yes. Don't use any of the leftover fruit and stuff as like a compost because it's actually harmful to plants. If you've ever seen around the base of a large black walnut tree, a lot of times there won't be much undergrowth or other plants growing because it's something with the roots or something like that. Okay. So it can be kind of poisonous to other plants where it like cuts off its ability to collect oxygen. I don't know all the science behind it, but just don't do that, mm-hmm. right? So I have cleaned everything off, washed it, and I'm letting it dry, the nuts dry for about 2 weeks. And then I'm going to crack those bad boys open. And of course, we will have a taste test.
Got to.
All right. And yeah, I'm looking forward to this tree getting a lot larger because we didn't really get that much, right? Because it's still like a young tree.
Okay.
So and I don't know how much I'm actually going to have. I mean, it's really only like maybe 20. I think I got like 20. So
I was going
to
ask.
When it comes down to like when you crack these things open, how much am I actually going to have? But anyhow, this is something that not a lot of people harvest. So you could go to a nearby park and literally find just hundreds of these things laying everywhere, right? And one other quick thing too, when you're harvesting these and they have started to decompose a little bit, if it's like started to really decompose, you want to stay away from it because it can actually form this like toxic poisonous something or other.
Watch out.
Horses, like it does something horrible to horses. But anyways, if you do find some worms inside some of where the husk or the fruit of it is,
throw it out.
No, totally fine. Totally fine. Okay. They're not affecting the actual meat of the nut. Gotcha. So there were a couple that I cut into that there were some.
So they get in the fruit.
They had some worms in it. And I was like, oh man. But then I did some research and you know, everybody's like, no, totally fine. They're just there for eating the fruit. Nice. Or whatever. So anyhow, hope you guys learned something about black walnuts. But wow. I've got a bonus Whoa. Tonight that's going to be quick. I don't know how many episodes ago that I mentioned that I had picked up some chocolate peanut butter pie Oreos.
You talked about them like they were the holy grail of Oreos.
I don't know about that. Dave's making me question. I don't know.
Don't be influenced.
There's some crazy, crazy Oreo flavors out there. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
To come out.
It's like they got their own section now with all these different variations, but I tried this one and I thought it was really good.
It changed your life.
Home and run. Now listen, guys. I got the package right here. Okay. I have not even opened these because I wanted them to be just fresh
for you guys. Okay.
So let's do this real quick. Okay. Let me
break them open.
I love the new, well, I guess they're not new.
5 years new.
The way that the Oreo package opens now.
They make that real easy for you to stay obese.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here we go. All right, Josh.
You're like, I've already got it open this far.
Yeah, take one of those bad boys.
How about I take two and you not tell me what to do?
All right. There, get you some, Dave.
I'm going to give you two of them.
Okay, again. Okay.
First take here. Sorry, go ahead.
Josh is sniffing it. Well, I was just gonna say what they are again.
Okay.
Chocolate peanut butter pie, because I think I saw another one that was just like peanut butter in it or something, but it wasn't chocolate peanut butter pie Oreo.
Okay, on the first sniff, it smells like Nutter Butter. Is that the peanut-shaped cookie?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the sniff test. That's where I'm going with that.
Okay.
So here we go.
So it's the cookie part of it is like a graham cracker, cause for like a graham cracker crust for the chocolate peanut butter pie. Now, my sister-in-law, I think what I really liked or what made me get these is my sister-in-law makes this amazing peanut butter pie. And so I was like, that in Oreo form has got to be good. And so that's why I picked them up.
Here is the problem.
Okay.
I dove in. All right. I've had one. It's not a terrible cookie, but in my opinion, the Oreo is the holy grail of the cookies, of the packaged cookies.
You can't think of it as an Oreo, though.
It says Oreo on the package.
I know, but you can't think of it like in those strict of terms.
In my opinion, you have the original Oreo, and then you can do the double stuffed Oreo, but it's got to be the original flavor. And this is just not like, I don't need Oreo to be changing. I need two kinds of Oreos, regular and double stuffed, and that's it. And I'm happy. Like,
you don't like that it's off brand.
I don't like that it's off brand. Now I will go. I don't need Oreos anymore. I used to eat way too many of them, and I would get the vanilla Oreos, right? And so, because I was about to say, I don't like that it's a that it's not a dark colored cookie, right? This is kind of tan colored, mm-hmm. and that throws me off. But I did used to eat the vanilla ones, which
interesting.
Yeah, and I
does
like
that
those.
Not go against your?
It does. It does. Listen, if they took that one away, I wouldn't be.
Those are delicious.
They are
the
delicious. I wouldn't be torn up because we still have the original.
I'm gonna go. Okay, Dave. So Dave kind of gave us a preview of this cookie by telling us.
Look, Tim talked so highly of it. I went out and bought a pack and then threw it away because I was like, this is terrible.
So that's where my measuring stick was when I walked in, was Dave throwing away a bag of these.
You've had both sides of it.
Though. So these are 10 times better than I expected.
I told you.
They might be a better overall cookie, not Oreo. They're a better cookie than Oreo cookies.
No. Because
I've got a problem. Oreo cookies as a cookie, like if we're grading all cookies against each other, it's a garbage cookie. It is chocolate.
It's a packaged cookie.
It's chocolate flavored cardboard.
I love this conversation after our civil discourse.
It's chocolate flavored.
Well, then that's peanut butter flavored cardboard.
I didn't say it was good. I said it was better than the original Oreo. Okay. These are good, Tim. I would eat these. I like them at least the same as normal Oreos. So this is a good cookie. I could use a little more chocolate. I could use, like, I definitely, the peanut butter's all over it. Could use a more chocolate.
I think there's something missing from it, and I can't really put my finger on it. Maybe it's the chocolate. I think it might be the cookie part. Just doesn't taste right to me.
There's a weird aftertaste that I'm getting, but...
Facebook group, weigh in. Go to your local...
The Oreo is not a garbage cookie.
Oreo is great.
We'll ask everybody.
Yeah, but weigh in if you've tried these chocolate peanut butter pie Oreos, all right? Okay, guys, that's going to do it for this week's show. Check out our Facebook group if you haven't already done so. Hey, we haven't called for reviews in a while. Dave's reaching for another Oreo.
I'm getting another one.
Oh, gosh. Right. We haven't asked for reviews in a while, so if you guys could take some time.
Yeah, take a second. And give us a good review and rating on whatever platform you use.
Yes, because it really does help other people
find
the podcast.
We're making some moves, folks, and let's make it.
Yes. All right, guys. We will catch you guys next time.